Check it out. Arizona Verse.
Real fresh right now.
And with me, my dude and co-host, Soul Papa.
Like always, what's happening? What's happening?
I'm black, he's Mexican, thanks, but you should already know that. And this right here is a podcast about nothing in particular, just current events minus the bullshit. And you can check us out at ibhmpodcast.com for videos, photo galleries, polls, and much, much, much more fuckery. Now, speaking of fuckery, you could follow me on my main source of social media fuckery, which actually I have two now, so I'm just going to throw these out. Tumblr and Facebook, so you can find me on Tumblr at a different state of black.tumblr.com, and you can find me and follow me and be my friend and all that shit on Facebook at facebook.com/ArizonaVerse. Now, you can follow my dude, Soul Papo, on his main source of social media fuckery, which is...
You know what? Just because I'm a be that hype man who is the dick rider who be on them coattails, I guess I'll jump on the Facebook and Tumblr bandwagon too. Anything for social media, find me at Soul Papo, SoulPapo. So soulpapo.tumblr.com, facebook.com/soulpapo. Wherever you can key my name and hopefully you'll find me. So yeah.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, episode 30.
Fucking, we're doing shit back to back to back, son.
Just killing the game, son. That's how we doing it, yo. Keeping it on the weekly front. And just coming to you fine folks and keeping it real and just talking about what's going on in the world and how we feel about it. I'm not going to say if we're right or if we're wrong. It is just our opinion on what's going on in the world today. So,
As your dedicated Bible thumper, I would say I am right. I am 100% right. And even when I'm wrong, I am right. So, something for that, I guess.
Yes, sir. So, today is, what is today? August 31st?
31st, Sunday. Sunday.
And I want to give a quick shout out to a event that I'm going to check out tonight. Hosted by Mystic Blue, who is a singer and songwriter, poet, MC, musician, evolutionist, coming out of Arizona, and she has a album release show tonight from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Last Exit. So if you're out in Arizona and you know where that is, because I don't see an address anywhere. There it goes. 717 South Central Ave, Phoenix, Arizona, 85004. You can catch your boy, Arizona Verse. I'm going to be out there. The Mrs. Skips is coming out. Soul Papa, will you be there?
That's the reason why I didn't comment on Facebook over this shit. And honestly, I'm not too sure because I needed to show some love for an old mutual co-worker's birthday that I kind of wanted to, you know, maybe just stop by, make an appearance, pick up a white bitch, leave. If not, well then maybe, man. I'm not too sure, but I think I'm going to let you handle that since you're going to be with the first lady of IBHM podcast. I don't know. I honestly don't know because I told you how I feel about shows. And I'm guessing she's just R&B, right? I feel bad.
Yeah, this is a mostly R&B 30 plus crowd. So this is going to be a smooth, laid back. That's why I'm coming out. Because I left the hip hop scene back in fucking, what was that?
03?
Or no, 09, 2010. I kind of fell back from it as I got older. And once I had kids, it's just like that environment, like we've spoken before, it's based off of like your personality or whatever, because I was rocking the shows, I was drinking, hanging out, you know, clubbing, doing all this shit. And I won't even say really clubbing. It was always making appearances, if you will, and just it was always about the music and getting shows and doing that. And just as you get older, especially the hip hop shows, it's just like as you get older, that demographic at a lot of those shows don't get older. It's that same like 21 to 25, still rowdy, want to fight in the fucking club, my dude's better than your dude. Like, I don't know, it's a negative energy to a lot of or not a lot, but some of the hip-hop shows. I kind of evolved past that, but this is more of an R&B show. And apparently reading this right off of the I Am album release Facebook page. She says, it's finally here, my album release show. I've dreamed of this day for many years. I plan to give you a show you will not forget. I will be performing with a live band that includes drums, bass, keys, guitar, cello, violin, trumpet, and flute, and who knows what else. It is going to be my very spiritual, uplifting, and downright fun. So please join me in my celebration on my first album release, I Am. And they also have a group called Femme Fatale, which is Mystic Blue, Empress, Honey, and Ash Anderson. Shouts out to Ash Anderson. And yeah, so they're going to be performing too, so it's going to be fun. So if y'all are watching live and you live out in Arizona and you into this type of jazz, soul, hip hop, neo soul kind of blend, come fuck with us. I know I'm getting turned up in a low key way. You know how I do. You know what I'm doing. You know
what I'm doing. Turned up in a low key way. That sounds like an oxymoron.
I turns up in the corner. That's what I do. I'm like, I'm in the back with the flask, and you know, I'm like, hey, what do
I say? I was gonna say I turns up hella on medium. You know what I'm saying? I turn up on medium like crazy.
Yes, but, sir.
And it's that very thing, not too long ago, something about when you go. When I went to the shows, but I just felt like everybody was stuck in this 90s hip-hop yo-yo yiggity-yo sort of shit, and I'm like, I can't be walking around shooting guns like this, like I'm goddamn Pistol Pete. I'm like, you know what, I'm chill. I'd rather go to like a, you know what I'm saying, a folk indie festival shit and deal with pretentious hipster bastards and have to deal with the motherfucker that think he's 50 Cent, you know what I mean, back in 03. But yeah, it should be fun.
Shouts out to Mr. Maul, cause I missed that show, and I think you missed it too, right? Mr. Maul, the last, what was that, last Thursday?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah. And shouts out to him if you're listening. My bad. That was a Thursday night. I end up, I don't think I got out of work till like 6:30 or something like that. I got out real late. And so my bad. But once again, you can check out his stuff. If you go to our webpage, go to the support page. We have a page with his bio, his links. Check out his music. If you guys have been listening to the audio version of this, if you download or subscribe to this on iTunes, Podomatic, or Stitcher, whatever you get your podcast fits from, if you listen to the last episode, you heard, or whatever, the last call episode 28,
yeah,
you heard his music, and yeah, hot shit. So, yes, sir.
Yeah. And I was just broke as hell, and I was contemplating for too damn long, and then that's just a little bit more like
90%. Be mad, bro.
But one of the biggest things too, man, actually, I've experienced, man, this whole damn weekend. Anytime there's more than two events, or there's more than one thing to go to, it's like I can't fucking choose, and for some reason I get an automatic shutdown mode, and I do shit. I mean, oh, I end up taking on whatever comes to me, but you know what I'm saying? But, you know, blase, blase. I did want to mention, since we kind of were on the R&B thing, and I'm not too sure at what point we're going to bring up the VMAs, because, you know, we have to bring up the VMA stuff.
Yeah, we'll get to that later on. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, because I'm not too sure at what point we're going to talk about that, because I was listening to Miss Ariana Grande. Did she make any noise there or no?
I have no idea, because honestly, once we get to the part where we're talking about the VMAs, as we're reading this article, this will be the first time I'm hearing of what's going on at the VMAs. I gave zero to no fucks about the VMAs this year. I don't know why. I think I was turned up last year because it was the year of Miley Cyrus, and that's why I really enjoyed the VMAs. And also, a nigga ain't got cable anymore. I rocks with the Netflix and the Hulu, and the shit don't come on there, and I didn't look it up on YouTube. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, in that case, well, then I almost feel like I shouldn't bring it up. No, well, I mean,
we'll still talk about it, though.
Well, at what point, though? Let's bring it up now. Let's talk about it now. Let's get the shit out the way right now. Get this music thing out the way. No? Can we do that?
Well, I did want to talk about the Burgers and Bullets things first.
Okay. Let's jump into it, because all I want to do is talk shit about Miss Ariana, so I guess so.
Oh, we'll get to
it. Let's jump right into it then.
So, real quick, especially since this happened in fucking Arizona.
The doot doot doot.
Doot doot doot. Yeah, where's Kendrick when you need him? An instructor at an outdoor shooting range in Arizona was fatally shot in the head by a 9-year-old girl who was learning to use a firearm, authorities announced on Tuesday. Now, Charles Vaca, who's 39, of Lake Havasu City, was airlifted to a hospital in Las Vegas after the Monday morning shooting at Last Stop in White Hills, Arizona, the Mojave County Sheriff's Office, whatever. So, did you see the video? Did you watch it?
The only video that I had heard of, this was back when it broke out a few days ago, was somebody that someone took with the iPhone camera, which apparently just stopped after the first couple rounds started going off, because they just had to... So, long story short, no. My rambling ass, no. I didn't see it, but I remember hearing it the moment that this shit broke out, and...
Yeah. And it's crazy, because the incident happened at Last Stop, Arizona, and it is...
just before we went to Colorado, right?
Something like, or it's southeast of Las Vegas, so it's a roadside tourist destination on the Highway 93, about 60 miles southeast of Las Vegas. So, the instructor works at Bullets and Burgers shooting range, where apparently you can go and have a burger and then go out back to the shooting range and shoot some shit up, which sounds like some real white American shit.
If that shit ain't America,
if that ain't America, I don't know what is. And so what happened, and I watched the video, so the girl is there, and the instructor's helping her. She's properly suited to the best of her ability, but this is a 9-year-old girl. She's quite frail. She looks 9. And so she's holding the Uzi, and he's holding it with her, and so he tells her to pull the trigger once. So she pulls the trigger, bam, shoots the little target or whatever, bam. So he's telling her how he's about to, let me see if it has the exact wording. No, it doesn't say the exact wording, but he's about to go to like fully automatic range. And so he's telling her that, okay, I'm gonna have you shoot, in the nets, style, cause you switch from the single bullet to the semi fully, however the shit work. I'm not a gun nut. So he switches it over and she pulls the trigger. I don't think he was ready for her to pull the trigger cause he didn't have a grip on the gun. So she pulls the trigger and the gun like flails like this. And shot.
I mean, it's a fucking Uzi. That's just gonna have.
It's an Uzi, and it's a 9-year-old holding it. Like, no, that was a bad idea. Like, I don't know who thought this was a good idea. And this once again brings up the question of like gun control and like, are gun enthusiasts, do they get like too deep into it? Because like, I couldn't imagine me like, especially having a 9-year-old girl, I couldn't imagine giving her a gun and like, here's a Uzi, honey, let's teach you how to shoot this. Like. What kind of like zombie apocalypse now shit is going on, or is white Americans really afraid that Obama's America is taking over and they're gonna have to go to war with their guns? Like, what is going on, son?
All I know is I got a 9-year-old sister. I don't trust that bitch with a gun, nor a mace, nor a fucking stun gun, just because ain't no telling what her vengeance is gonna have on me. But yeah, dude, she was so. I mean, and this what pisses me off. Well, what I don't want there to be, and obviously that's the first thing that comes up to mind is the gun control. How are we gonna allow fair things? Mind you, this is a fucking parent who gave permission. You know what I'm saying, to do this? And I laugh because a lot of the commentators I would see, they recollect on. Apparently, everyone has a fucking gun in America. I didn't fucking know this because every damn news broadcaster was like, "Oh, I remember when I shot my first 90." You know what I'm saying? 45 fucking da 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 da.
America.
I'm like, damn. I'm like, well.
In America, everybody has a gun. I think in America, not everybody does, but yeah, in America, they got a gun.
I mean, it is a rite of passage, so to speak. I mean, and we do have the right to bear arms, so I mean, as a right, why the fuck not?
It's my constitutional right, but so I don't know. It's just, it gets crazy because my stance is never, I think there needs to be some type of gun control where everybody shouldn't be able to get a gun. But I also, I'm not a gun person. Like, I'm just anti-gun. I don't know. I'm not super, like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. But I think people do have the right to have a gun. If you want a gun, have a gun. But I don't think everyone needs to have a gun. And I don't think 9-year-old girls need to be taught how to shoot a Uzi. Like, I don't know who... Well, I can't wrap my brain around these things. That's what I'm trying to get at.
What's so gnarly is the fact that, honestly, real talk, we need all the guns. We need all the guns that we can. Because I know there was a certain point where the U.S. government, they're buying out all the fucking ammo. There's a motherfucking waiting list for us to stock up because they're taking everything. They, being the man, being the ones that are in control, being the ones that we're under. So, I mean, we definitely need that. And that is our right, that we are going to lose over stupidity like this. And honestly, when the, and I hate to call it the apocalypse, because there's this fucking, there's just this, you know, there's just this, what's the word for it? There's just this shit that comes along with it that makes it seem all the more crazy and kookier. But honestly, there's going to be a point where we're going to be stripped of everything that we have, and we're going to be bare ass. Where it's going to come down to who has the water, who has the gold, employment, who has the fucking weapons. Whoever has the fucking weapons is going to have the water and the gold.
So, and there is, honestly, a tipping point that I think every civilization comes to. And that's why I do talk, like, overpopulation. And, you know, it's semi-jokingly some of the stuff I do, you know, believe in or whatever. And but I think it just, it goes to, and nothing lasts forever. Every civilization has crumbled. And be it 1,000 years from now, 100 years from now, 10 years from now, 1 year from now, eventually America will crumble. It's just, it's, history repeats itself. And just like Rome and Greece and Egypt and Sumer and all these great other cultures, you crash eventually. And so eventually we'll hit that tipping point where either we completely destroy the economy, or we reach that tipping point where we have too many people to feed in a logical manner, and then we run into some type of starvation. Eventually, sometime it's going to happen. So I do agree with people feeling the need to have guns and your canned foods and all your water and your shelters and all that. But I don't know. I think that this incident was a poor choice, a poor idea. They shouldn't have let her shoot this gun in this environment, and that's that.
Now, just so we don't have to tread on this shit anymore, because go on about the whole gun shit and it being, you know, the whole rights and all that crap and all that rabbit hole of things. But honestly, what it kind of seems like too is the fact that they let this little girl shoot because she said, "Daddy, I want to shoot that shit." And what do we do when kids be asking us for shit? We usually give it to them. Why? Because instead of being disciplinary parents and let them know what's what, we kind of just fucking give in. And I can just imagine, when you have a little girl, you give them the world. It's alright to yell at your little boy and tell him, "No, motherfucker," you know what I'm saying, or smack him over there or some shit. But when it's your princess, I mean, I can just imagine. So I mean, to kind of comes down to, I mean, backbone, I guess common sense, but more or less backbone.
That's why I'm glad I don't have a daughter. I have two boys, and I have no problem sticking my foot in either of their asses.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. that's my right as a parent.
Yeah, but, it so is.
Moving on, Ice Bucket Challenge, is this still a thing? Is this still, are we over it? I did my Ice Bucket Challenge last week. Check us out on youtube.com/IBHM podcast if you have not seen it.
I hope that this Ice Bucket Challenge dies along with its fucking, was it co-founder?
Oh!
No!
The co-founder of the Ice Bucket Challenge died in a diving accident after raising $100,000 for ALS. This dude, Corey Griffin, 27, he died. And ALS, for those who don't know, is Lou Gehrig's disease. And it's funny, like, I'd laugh at, like, some of the people who kind of, like, didn't do the challenge. In the sense of, I get it, like, everybody doesn't have to do it, and normally, like, all these internet fads, I'll always skip them, like, I always think they were silly and stupid, but this one was fun. I did it with the wife and with the kids, and, you know, we had a good time with it. I was like, okay, I'm gonna check this one out. But the people who were, like, against it, it was funny, like, a lot of people were like, oh, I'm not gonna do an Ice Bucket Challenge, I'd rather donate water to someone who needs it, and donations and charities, and I get that too, and maybe I'm just maybe I'm cynical in my whole thing. I think the social media activist thing, I think we're still in the baby stages of it. I think, you know, a lot of people think it's stupid when people do stuff like this to raise awareness, and they're like, oh, we're not really making any changes. But I think it's still in its infancy within this whole internet world that we're living in. I think 100 years from now, things like these will really be able to make a change, if you will. But me being Mr. Cynical, I can't find myself donating to charities because I don't know if that stuff actually got to those people. So I would much rather raise awareness and tell somebody what it is and continue to talk about it and discuss it. And the more people who are aware of it, the more you could actually make a change, as opposed to giving your stuff to some corporation and who knows what percentage of that is actually getting to the people who need it. So,
yeah, because... Yeah, one thing I want to add to that, because I've worked for a couple quote-unquote nonprofits. Now, bills need to be paid one way or another. And that salary sure as fuck is paid, and everyone who has to toil and be in the middle of it does as well. I mean, I may not be handsomely, at least not to the general eye, but motherfuckers are making money. Nonprofits don't mean that they don't make their ends.
And that's actually the perfect segue, real quick. I don't want to cut you off. What would you about to say?
I can't give a fuck about the rest. Go for it, brother.
So, with the co-founder of the Ice Bucket Challenge dying, with me and my conspiratorial view of that we were all baptizing ourselves into the age of Aquarius, I think this is the perfect time to start a nonprofit cult church. And apparently, with WikiHow, it isn't that difficult. I hopped on WikiHow, and they have a 17-step walkthrough on how to start a church, and it's very simple. Begin in fellowship and starting a spiritual discussion group and defining the scope of your church with like membership, your location, different things like that. And I think it's time we start a cult, Papo. I really do think it is.
I don't know for how long I've been wanting this, for this has been a dream, for I have wanted to be Jim Jones, both being a sex god and Christ all in one. As far as the dying and kind of making motherfuckers drink the Kool-Aid, that's kind of a, you know, don't press the red button sort of situation. Just in case you need to, but, you know.
See, and I don't want to go full-blown Heaven's Gate cult, if you will.
Bro,
but
it's, honestly, either you go all in or you don't fuck with it at all, man. You can't half-ass this.
See, and this is how it is, because this is my personal opinion, is that, and this is once again coming from someone who believes in a higher power, God, whatever name you choose to label
Yahweh.
On it.
We're all
saying the same thing. We're just using a different language to say it, if you will.
Exactly.
But that higher power, I believe in it. But I personally believe that church and religion is cults. And I think that every church, including Christianity, it started as a cult. And then 2,000 years later, it became something that people would die for. And they're very strong and opinionated about. Same thing with Islam. And all these, and every other religion. And so I'm like, yo, we could start a Church of Aquarius. We could start like a book, and we have these deities now and all this. In 2,000 years from now, this can be a big deal. So I think this is a good idea. And also, the WikiHow has a walkthrough on how to become an ordained minister. I was scrolling through it, and apparently you could be a minister in Arizona without being ordained. So technically, we're already ministers. So I think we're pretty close to being able to start this, man. I think this is a good idea.
I definitely want to be the minister, like Farrakhan of Arizona. You know what I mean?
Oh, the Mexican Farrakhan, yo. Fernando Farrakhan, that would be the name.
Fernando Farrakhan, that's what it is.
And, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, in honesty, this kind of just goes into, especially with anything that starts with a good cause, kind of like the whole ALS, whatever the fuck thing, it's meant for cause, it's meant to unite us, it's meant to raise awareness and kind of bring us together and hopefully, you know what I'm saying, cure. But it just ends up being a thing of personal self-interest. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of where all these cult leaders, and I'll call them cult leaders because they didn't, you know what I'm saying? They were, to me, they end up, you know, showing their ass at the end of it. That's why shit ended up going sour the way it did, because they were out for own personal, you know, interest and not the actual right of enlightenment. Just kind of how, and you know, I'm a quote-unquote Christian, not the best Christian, but you know what I'm saying? That's where my beliefs lie. If I had to label something, you know what I'm saying? The Romans, you know what I'm saying? They don't break the shit out of the system, man, and they made it work for them, and that's why they rich and they live in fat.
Mm. And real quick, I'm digging the background, yo. This is very Kevin Smith, Klertz-esque. Like, it's very indie. I'm digging the background, yo.
Yeah, it's called white. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, when it's white, it's right.
But it's for anybody who just listens to the audio stream and hasn't checked out the live show, do yourself a favor. Check it out one day on YouTube.com/ IBHM Podcast, or directly on the IBHMPodcast.com page. We always embed a video on there. You can check it out because you're only getting half of the story. Look at this lovely face.
Yeah. You know what? I don't feel too pretty today. I shaved. My hair is all fucking faggy. Meets Oxfrup, man, fuck the shit. But anyway, since we have to do it on Google Hangouts, I guess. Fuck you, Google.
Yo, Google, they took over the market, man. They won. And real quick, just to close out the Church of Aquarius, this is the mythology that I have behind it. So let me run this by you. You have the co-founder who dies in a diving accident. So the whole Age of Aquarius is water, the water bearer. You have water. Yeah. Then you have this man who died for our sins in water. So bam, you have your baptized Christ-like figure right there. He died for our sins to protect us and raise awareness for ALS. Then you have the man who I would like to quote. This is my self-proclaimed Black Jesus, Jay Electronica, who is a 37-year-old man who, those who don't know the myth of Electronica, you're missing out. This man is 37 years old, has yet to drop his first ever hip-hop album. He has toured the world and has studied with Buddhist monks and Christian leaders and the Nation of Islam, and he's a 5%er, and the dude is now fucking talking to the princess of the Illuminati, and like, this gets real deep. And then also he has a child with the voodoo priestess herself, Erykah Badu, who has that thing in her box that makes dude change their religion. And if you look up the names of their children, like, this is a completely different mind state, people. They she has a child with Andre 3000 called Seven Sirius. She has a kid with DLC called Puma. She has a daughter with Jay Electronica named Mars. So there goes some more astrology thrown in there. And Erykah Badu is also Aquarius, and so she's the Isis now of this religion. She gave birth to Mars, and we're eventually going to move and be living on Mars. The mythology is there, man. We just got to turn this into a book, and 2,000 years from now, this will be a big thing. I'm just saying.
It's going to be Bible. It's going to be. That's assuming they don't have complete control once we do make it to the other planets. Because, I mean, freedom, that's going to be non-existent. You know?
Yes, sir. So if anybody out there wants to join the Church of Aquarius or help us start this friendly cult, this friendly cult, it's non-threatening. So America, Google, I know you're listening. We're not threatening any.
No. We understand you are the almighty in this world.
Yeah, we're just spreading intellect. If you look down at my banner, bam, know thyself. That's what I'm all about. Gnostic, yo. So,
people, and if you look at my banner, suck me tenderly.
Love it. I'm Black, he's Mexican, and yeah. You're listening to the IVHM podcast. Now, real quick, moving along, the St. Louis Rams is in the news, in the mainstream media, if you will, because defensive end Michael Sam, that shows you how much I give a fuck about football. The first openly gay player selected in the NFL draft was recently released, and I wanted to see what you thought about that, Popo.
Fucking queers. No, I'm kidding. One thing for sure, man, and this is the one issue that everybody was thinking at first, like, this is a gimmick ploy. This is a ploy. This is some sort of whatever the hell for them to kind of get attention. Hey, look, we're okay with gays. Gays, come on over to St. Louis. And you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, then all of a sudden, Nelly comes in with his old E-I-E-I-O. It turns into a butt-fucking commercial. Are you feeling it now? But, yeah, man, I just, from what I saw, because I'm the real, and actually I'm a football kind of person, not really, not necessarily, but if anything of all the sports, that's what I fucks with, yeah, they said it was over a football thing, so I mean, you figure, it had to have been that, because the gay demographic is the demographic you want to keep, and in honesty, I'm surprised they didn't keep him, even if it was a shitty player, because it helps, it gets ratings.
And I do wonder, like, and I do think that there is a gay agenda, but I don't say that to say that I think gay people are it's being gay is a fad, and that it's not something.
It is a fad. I've been telling you, I'm gay all the time, because that's how I get it in, real unaware, real unthreatened.
But no, I think that there's nothing wrong with being gay if that's what you believe in. Like, and once again, this comes up a lot because she was a former dedication, and I'm Facebook friends with her, and she posts a whole lot, so it's always fresh in the mind. You have Nyla, who, once again, you know, our first transgender dedication, and more power to her. If you're born and you feel that you're born in the wrong body, I personally couldn't imagine what that feels like. So I will never say that, no, you're wrong, you're this because you were born this. Like, I couldn't imagine mentally how that feels. So I would never throw that on anyone else that, you know, once again, we're all the same person living different lives, if you will. So I, more power to you. But I do think that there's a gay agenda going on within the media, because the LGBT community, they know how to put their money together. They know how to fight for what they believe in. They know how to stand up for the shit that they believe in. And the media sees that. And I think the media hops into certain things and does a play off of it to try to make some money. I brought up the whole Malcolm Moore situation with the same love or whatever. And not to say necessarily that he was part of a gay agenda, that this is what I'm trying to do. But maybe the label behind him was like, yo, if we could make the hip hop or the gay community start investing in hip hop and investing in this artist, we could make money. And so I just always look at the slant, I look at the other side, and I'm cynical. I just think that ain't nobody shit. And so I don't know, I gotta question things. Yo,
first of all, this for sure is the guy to engage in it. They feminizing or what is it called when you emasculating the man? We yeah. The deal is about how, you know what I'm saying, they use the current trendsetter, which the nigga demographic, and using styles and all these things to kind of just sync Chris out. But really quick, the only thing I want to mention, because you mentioned Nyla, I was laughing my ass off because on Tumblr she has some kind of post where, you know, people can ask anonymous questions and somebody asks, what's the equivalent of a morning wood for a female? And this bitch with no goddamn shame, she's like, I don't know, I was born with a penis. Alright. Yeah, you don't want to talk about it, but you can throw it out like that, I guess.
I throw my hands up.
And then I pointed at you because it's hard and erect, coming right for you. But yeah, that's all I wanted to fucking say on the wood. Whatever for the bird.
But no, I don't know. It's an interesting world that we live in. And real quick on the Michael Sam thing, one thing I do wonder, because there was this whole thing where Oprah and the O Network was supposed to do a reality show, I guess, on him. They were supposed to follow him during his first year in the NFL. And I do wonder if he's not that good and he got cut because he wasn't that good. And if Oprah had started that series, would they have kept going after he got cut? Like, how would that story have played? Like, I don't know. I think it's just interesting. And so shouts out to him. I think it's just like, once again, Vanilla Ice being a white rapper who it didn't work for him. And unfortunately, it didn't work for Michael Sam. And maybe he opened the door for the next gay football player to come out. And I thought this was incredible because I figured it was going to be a gay NBA or baseball player that came out before football. Because football is a rough, tough game. And so that rocked my mind when it was like a gay football dude came out. And I will say that I thought it was very suspect. Did you see when he got drafted and how it just so happened to be a camera crew at his house and they were filming, and then when the dude got drafted, they were
boyfriend and kiss.
And I don't know, just that was suspect, not sexuality.
It was staged.
Yeah, it really came off stage to me. Just the angle and then how like they zoomed in, like it came off stage to me. So more power to him, Michael Sam. Live your life. You know, I hope. Wish you good luck in your future endeavors. And
What I kind of do predict from this stuff? It was.
Are you in a closet? Where are you at?
I'm doing laundry right now, bro.
Oh, that gangster.
Yo. No wide hangers, plastic. How do we do them things? But I really feel like if anything, this is gonna help his brand though, because he's gonna come off like a gay fucking activist. The faggot LBG group, they're gonna come in, they're gonna, you know, stand for, you know, equality and how this is unfair. And it's gonna boost up his brand. So really it's kinda like when you're an American Idol and you come up the runner up, usually you're gonna be more successful than the motherfucker that actually won the contract anyway. That's what's gonna happen. He's just gonna get this good publicity.
And I'm throwing up the parental advisory explicit content banner as Poppo goes on his parental advisory explicit content rant.
I'm so sorry. Just so you know, I have a ton of friends that are queers and dykes. To let that be known.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
motherfuckers
sir.
Need a question.
It's hilarious because 20 years from now, that'll be such like a racist thing or a sexist thing to say, because it was the same thing in the 60s with white people and they was hanging blacks and they was like, I got me some of them Negro friends in the background too. But
he's like, a Negro washes my car every morning. I don't like them. He does a hell of a job. I don't let him drive it, but he does a good job. I don't let him read, but he does a good job.
He doesn't fit Chinese shoes.
Back to the Nyla thing. What, you know,
and when he does that shmoney dance,
that's the shmoney dance. About a week ago. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, hit a nigga with them clippers though.
Oh.
Yeah, that's some ignorant ass shit, but go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I'm like, I understand Nyla not being able to be born in the body that you wanted, because honestly, I wish to have been a slender white male, but that's not what God decided to give me.
No. He wanted a Bina. He planned this all along for the I'm Black, He's Mexican podcast. And actually, it's funny, because if you would have been born white and all this still happened, and this was the I'm Black, He's White podcast, we would have ran into some issues, because I had Googled that the other day, and there is an I'm Black, He's White podcast.
Really?
So for anybody.
Naturally.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. The IBHW podcast. That's weird. But
are you serious?
Yeah, people, feel free to check it out. And if it's good, let me know, and I'll check it out. It didn't. The title descriptions didn't catch my attention.
So. I fucking want to see some editing out of these sort of shit. I would have picked something else.
I'm not throwing shots though. This ain't a podcast. I'm not.
Fucking. I guess I'll say, but no, I don't know them. Nor do I care.
Yes, sir. So, moving on, I guess it's about that time. MTV VMAs 2014 recap. And, first things first, did you watch the VMAs?
Hell no.
I did not.
I don't got cable, as we discussed before.
Yes.
But why sit through 2 hours of bullshit when we just gonna read the results and be just as pissed off?
And it's funny, we could start it off, because you were saying, Adrian, what's her name, Grand?
Adriana Grande. And that kind of was hoping to be there. I was just going to say, fucking, because, you know, it's simply because I have a kid sister, you know what I'm saying, I caught her album, and two of our favorites is on there, and I should probably pull it up. And on the real, actually, no, I want to say three of my current favorite MCs are on there. One being a mutual, I don't remember, I'm sure she would have been a dedication. She's just all around bad bitch. But pretty much there's a track with ASAP Ferg, there's a track with Childish Gambino, and there's a track with Iggy Azalea. Mm. The one that Iggy Azalea we done heard on the radio or on TV is the Problems. I got some problems with that, whatever. Which, on the real, Iggy's verse killed every single fucking guest verse on this.
And what is it called?
The CD is called Ariana Grande's My Everything, which is, you figure, is going to be typical ballads. On the real, as good as this bitch can sing, as great of a fucking Mariah Carey impersonator as she is, and she can actually impersonate other artists, Shakira and all them.
Yeah.
This fucking album just sounds so fucking bland and the same. Anyways, cut to the chase. There's a song called Hands On Me featuring ASAP Ferg. And Ferg, I just love his ignorant swagger. And mind you, this is a little girl who came up on Nickelodeon, I think. I forgot which show. She came up on Nickelodeon. She has like the Miley Cyrus sort of demographic. She has the tween. She's obviously doing her grown up fucking slutty shit right now, which on the real, I love me a bulimic.
Wait, she's a Disney chick too?
Nintendo chick. Nickelodeon is what she is.
Nickelodeon? Oh, okay.
I mean, Nickelodeon's owned by Viacom. It's a connection with MTV. It's part of the machine.
It's part of the set's kitten.
It is. And on the real, and if you see her, man, she is perfect for the pet, for the fucking, that pedal love demographics. On the real, she looks like a little fucking girl. She wears little sundresses. You could have sworn you just picked her up out of the daycare. It's disturbing. She's a bad one.
I'm listening to it in the background.
But yeah, the album's complete shit. Like I said, the song called Hands On Me, which has ASAP Ferg, it's pretty dope, it's catchy, it's pretty much, it's and honestly, it's a whole metaphor for a finger in her goddamn snatch. And of course, Nico will come in real quick and fucking, you know what I'm saying, do his thing, use that good hand. There's another track with Childish Gambino called, where the fuck is it at? Oh, Break Your Heart Right Back, which, you know, Gambino does that emo shit perfectly on the real. Yeah. Gambino gave one of the weakest verses in the whole fucking album.
And this ain't
just me being a hater on Gambino, because like I said, it don't sound like it. It ain't hating, because I even got confirmation this motherfucker's verse was whack. And the real, somebody said, oh, well, this sounds like Gambino back in the Cam days. No, the fuck it don't, bitch, because it don't sound smart. This sounds more like him trying to rehash royalties and be a nigga because ASAP Ferg and... let me sum it up real fast.
Real quick, Childish just did another record too. I forgot the name of it, but it was, he flipped this flow and he was doing what's currently popular. So I hope that if he's doing another one of those mixtapes like Royalty, where he kind of, you know, pulled his black card. And so if he's doing that now, okay, more power to you. But I hope this isn't the new direction his music is going, because I love everything else that he did. And so far, these couple of records I've heard new of his, I'm like, I don't know. But go ahead.
This is his attempt to do that, man. And the real, it's not coming out successfully. When I heard him on the remix of Fuck That Bitch, it sounded clean. Like, he was nerdy on a hype beat. But this kind of thing, it didn't match. And to kind of to end my haterism real fast, another person who had a guest verse who also sucked a lot of ass was Big Sean. And not only do I hate Big Sean for his simplicity in being signed to Kanye, this motherfucker's fucking Ariana Grande now.
Oh!
I'm real mad!
Oh!
Yeah. Yeah. That's some gossip for that ass right there. They together.
And
she gonna get robbed just like he robbed the bitch from Glee. That's all I'm saying. You didn't hear that shit from me, though. That's what's gonna happen.
Somebody else who's about to get robbed, who also came to the event and showed off that they are, I guess, indeed a couple, is Katy Perry showed up with Riff Raff.
What?
Katy.
No, my Katy, baby. My witty child. No.
Katy. Why?
I laughed, though, because Riff Raff got fucking dissed by Ariana Grande when she went up to win whatever fucking award. He had his hand out like, ugh. And then they made a big old deal about it and say, that's why my heart's ice cold, because the bitch is like this.
Now, just picture this. Put this in context, Popo.
I don't want to.
Riff Raff's penis has probably been in multiple places on Katy Perry. Just let's put that together. Mr. Shark Teeth Grill. Mr. White Face Minstrel Show himself is banging Katy Perry.
Breaks my fucking heart, man.
Yeah.
Breaks my fucking heart. You know what, too? And I didn't know that. You probably on the Vine shit, that one song, Tiptoeing in My Jordan. Na 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 na.
Oh yeah.
Fucking Riff Raff does that song.
Oh, is that him? I heard it in Vines. So.
That's a fucking, it's a fucking banger of a track, as ignorant as that shit is, man. But yeah, he did that. And on the road, man, Katy Perry's vagina has been ruined since John Mayer. I ain't sure.
I've seen it all of what Childish Gambino say. I've seen it all, like the world through John Mayer's penis hole.
Penis hole. Oh, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, I love it. But that was all I had about the VMAs. If you had something else.
You know what? I didn't even realize who won. I'm pretty sure it was predictable. The only news that I kind of laughed at was Miley Cyrus, who totally staged this fucking homeless guy coming up, giving a fucking speech, you know what I'm saying, kind of letting it be known. This bitch wants to seem a little bit like she, you know, is into social issues. Turns out this motherfucker had warrants. As soon as the show was on, this motherfucker got arrested.
Oh, yeah, that was just funny.
Yeah, but it was, like I said, none too special. I thought it was funny.
Jesse held a homeless man who accepted VMA award for singer Miley Cyrus last week and turned himself into the Polk County Jail. He was 22. What did he do? Yeah, outstanding warrant for probation violation. It was booked. Yeah, okay. Miley, I don't know what the fuck you're doing. Let's get back to that ratchet fucking... What was the my favorite fucking Vine of her? Because, like, I have this weird thing with Miley Cyrus. Like, I'm attracted to her, and then I'm utterly not attracted to her. So it's like my mind is very confused. I think it's the Gemini in me. The sane part of me is like, she's so disgusting. But then the insane part of me was like, yo, she is a train wreck. I need to Captain Save up that hoe. It's somewhere around
that's me. That's not feeling exactly.
Yeah.
And you know what, I told you I'm working at the shelter thing right now. Working in this thing, man, you meet a lot of people that sometimes are just really down the luck. Anyways, long story short, I met this guy out from the East Coast. Apparently, some sort of tattoo activist / fucking guardian angel. Some weird shit. Now he's a pastor, apparently. But anyways, he has a picture of him and Miley Cyrus. And this is back, I guess, in his druggy days. I think he used to be a tattoo artist. And he had Miley Cyrus up in the shop. Motherfucker, both their eyes were just so goddamn, what is it called when they're humongous? Dilated. Yo, they were both fucking mollied out like a motherfucker. Apparently she's a real sweetheart, so I don't know. But she looks and sounds like a cunt to me.
I can't call.
That's kind of why I love her. I can't call. But I just like to.
So.
The only other thing, and people who are on Vine go to my, I mean, I'm sure you fucking see it everywhere, but my, I don't know if it's vine.com and then slash, but soap opera, everything, S-O-U-F-P-A-P-O. I saw a lot of funny videos. They were bagging on Miss Taylor Swift, yo. And this bitch was just some doing some kind of shoulder lean dance that just looked all fucking offbeat. And you know how I'm buying, they be matching up to music and shit, random ass music, from fucking shoulder lean to some Gucci Man track to fucking Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song. Fuck it, it was hilarious. So
that's yes, funny.
Taylor Swift. What a time.
Moving on, I saw this article on Billboard. I thought this was interesting. It's 15 surprising artists without a number one album. And I was just going to throw these names out here. And if you got something to chime in on any of them, just go ahead. We're starting off with, and these are all these guys who, hadn't had a number one album on the Billboard chart. So first off, we have David Bowie. Are you a David Bowie fan?
That's a fucking surprise. Yes, and I will say the only reason why I even attempted to even like David Bowie is because I remember hearing him on the, I'm not sure if it was a remix or if it was an extended version of Queen's Under Pressure, because I'm such a Freddie Mercury fan, because I feel that gay is totally wrong, and if God had a top five favorite fag list, Freddie would be on the very top. That's what made me love David Bowie, and I remember one of my favorite songs just off the top of my head was that Moon Age Dream, Daydream, which is just, he just had everything, man. Part of the flair. I didn't follow his shit too closely, but yeah, I'm very surprised with that shit. That's just, you got me by that. I don't know, do you get down with him?
I don't fuck with David Bowie, but I do fuck with the Nets guy, Marvin Gaye, and this is surprising to me. Because in 1971, What's Going On in 73, Let's Get It On, and they both reached number 6 and 2 respectively, so that's interesting. Marvin Gaye.
Oh. Yeah, I have a good, not too many, I only have about 3 of his records, but yeah, What's Going On was one of the biggest things, fucking... Yeah, I can't even call it. I don't know what it was. I mean, but don't forget though, they were very singles based back then. So the albums really didn't nearly as push as they were fucking singles. And I think they're going off of top albums in general. So yeah, that is surprising though.
Next, they have The Who, which I give who the fucks about. So then we have Cher, which that surprised me because she has 4 solo number one singles, but no number one album, which is interesting. Cher is the start of all this pop cater to the gay audience kind of. Was what Madonna and then Lady Gaga, and then that's what my man Jeffree Star is trying to hop into, but doesn't glam pop. Have the talent. Yeah, the glam pop. There you go.
And I want to say with Cher, Amber on the real, I hated the bitch personally over a fucking made-for-TV movie with the Sonny and Cher thing. And I laugh only because the only thing I remember with that fucking movie is that they're hanging out, I think they're on tour, Sonny comes upstairs to the hotel, and this bitch tells him, go downstairs, the roadie's coming up here, I'm going to fuck him, I'll call you when I'm done. And I'm like, damn, bitch, that is cold-blooded. But, yeah.
That's crazy.
She ends up coming back in 99 with the whole with the T-Pain effect / auto-tune / whatever the fuck it was originally with You Believe in Me After Love, showing her goddamn ass in the most ugliest song I've ever seen while her 14-year-old son plays guitar in the background. Ridiculous.
I was just providing you with some background vocals, because I believe in love was alone. That's exactly what it sounded like to me.
Nigga, you sound like Michael McDonald is what you sound like.
Oh yeah. Shit. Next we have the lovely Sheryl Crow. I don't really fuck with her music, but I know she's gorgeous, so.
The last time I remember hearing from her is when Kid Rock was going country and they did some kind of duet shit together. That's the last time I heard from the bitch. Haven't heard from her since.
What they have in the background, If It Makes You Happy. How old is it?
Oh, If It Makes You Happy. Yeah, it was fucking, I mean, it's a chick, it's a, you know what I'm saying? It was pop. Country rock. I don't know what the hell to describe her as. She's kind of like the unsuccessful version of Jewel. You know what I'm saying? She's like the poor man's Jewel. Actually, I can't even say that. I don't fucking know. Next on the row, Sting?
Sting.
Next one on the. I mean, he's had his. What was he part of? He wasn't part of Genesis. That was Phil Collins. Who was Sting a part of? He wasn't part of his son group, but was he always solo?
I have no idea.
Well, he was only... the police. Okay, yeah, and I don't remember a goddamn single from them. But yeah,
the only Sting I know, his finishing move is the Scorpion Deathlock. That's the only Sting.
That's wrestling for y'all motherfuckers that don't know what's going on.
Shouts out to Sting, yo. Yeah, then we have the Queen of Soul herself, Aretha Franklin, which that's surprising. But same thing like we were saying earlier, it's just that decade was different. So then you have Willie Nelson. That's surprising. Don't he have like 82 albums or something like that? Ain't none of them motherfuckers went number one?
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those things. It's kind of like a Snoop Dogg record. It's all the same shit.
Yeah.
A little bit of weed hair, you know what I mean?
Then we have Tina Turner, who could still get it, yo. Actually, I haven't seen a picture of her in a while. Yeah, I can't say the last time, but them thighs, yo,
all I know is Ike was a man who stood up for what he believed in.
Yeah.
And all respect to Ike Turner.
Put some stank on it.
Put some stank on it.
Oh.
Fucking next to him, this fucking Brad Paisley, country shit. Don't really fuck
with me. How long has he been around? What?
I want to say since at least 99.
I didn't know he had been around that long. I only knew, ain't he the dude that did the song with LL Cool J, and LL Cool J said the shit about forget about slavery or whatever?
I don't remember if he did kind of like, I think it was, I want to say it was Keith, I don't fucking know, you know what I'm saying? I wish I was more worse, because for some fucking reason, everybody in the mama listening to country music now. I've been surprised by that shit.
And they have James Taylor. Do you know who that is? I don't know who that is.
I want to say he's kind of like Jack Johnson, like almost. I don't want to. Definitely not fucking reggae, but fucking very, very pop melody. Damn near. Actually, no. What the fuck? No.
This is from the 70s.
Yeah.
Number two with Mudslide Slim in the Blue Horizon in 90. Yeah, I don't know who that is.
If you remember the movie Funny People, the Judd Apatow film with Adam Sandler, he has a little scene in it where he's opening up for Facebook, or it might have been MySpace, one of those two, where they're doing a little show. It's pop country is what it is.
Keep it. The next one I was surprised about, Dr. Dre doesn't have a number one album. That's interesting.
This motherfucker's a billionaire, he goes to show.
Yeah, and it says, though Dr. Dre has a small catalog of solo material, just two solo studio albums, he's made them count. The Chronic spent six non-consecutive weeks at number three in 1993, while Dr. Dre's 2001 lingered for 3 weeks at number two. An interesting story real quick, because you know Dre's Chronic 2001 came in the year 2000, right?
I thought it was 99.
Or whatever year it came. I thought, it was 99 going into 2000, that's what it was. But do you know why it was named Chronic 2001?
No. Because it was like a Space Odyssey-esque?
Well, no, it was something about Suge Knight or somebody released a Chronic 2000 before Dre did, so with copyright infringement, he had to switch it to Chronic 2001. And so, I don't know the exact details of the story. People, go ahead and use your Googles at this point to find that out. But, yeah. But that album lingered for 3 weeks at number two, but was later stuck behind the Unstoppable Santana
Supernatural
album for 12 weeks at number one.
Yo! Oh, shit. One thing I was going to say, that was one of the first times, because of that Santana album is how I discovered Rob Thomas, who was part of Matchbox 20, who kind of got me into the whole pop, indie sort of alt-rock sort of thing.
So, it's 3 a.m., I must be lonely, and I say, baby, that's my shit. And fuck it, what was the job one? I was going to go a different direction with this, and then you brought up Matchbox 20, which was my shit. Hold up.
I don't even know.
Let me hop on the videos, yo. This is live podcasting. That's how you do it. You hit some shit. Oh, yeah. Here we go. 3 a.m. The official video, yo. Wait.
My favorite songs were like, was Bent. That's one thing I can remember. That was one of the solo joints.
What was the one about work? If I work like at a box factory or... Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Real work. Honestly, yeah. That doesn't ring a bell. I'm thinking 50 Cent's 21 Questions.
No, it's Here We Go.
Which I mean, a bus.
As soon as the melody comes on, we'll remember how it goes.
Would you make me feel flaccid? Would you care if I didn't cuss?
Like, would be a rainmaker. Doom. Doom, doom, doom. Y'all remember that shit?
Yeah, well, right now, what you just saying kind of remind me of fucking Dave Matthews. But yeah,
where's this part right here? Those horrid boxes with little rope tabs on everyone. And you could come and see them when I'm done. That was my shit, yo. I think that came out in like 98 or whatever it was. I always say, like, for me to be the music head that I am, and the whole thing with synesthesia and how I'm genetically involved with music, if you will. I find it interesting that I didn't get into music until I was like 16. It was actually alternative music that caught my attention first. And so like 98 was a real heavy alternative year where I was fucking with Eve Sits and Matchbox 20.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of pop rock kind of hit its peak.
And what was the shit? Father of mine. Where have you been? That's my shit, yo. So I started off as a white boy, and then hip-hop woke me up thanks to DMX and Eminem and later on Jay-Z and Nas and all that shit. So shouts out to the Shiny Suit Theory and all that. Yeah, Puff Daddy brought me into this shit, so I'm a child of Puff.
Ask Puff D.
Yeah. And then moving on, somebody who does actually have a number one album and is coming back is motherfucking Slim Shady has announced that he's going to drop Shady XV. And this bitch is coming out Black Friday this year. So what do you think about that? And this, it's named Shady XV because it's coming out on the label's 15th anniversary and it marks its 15th release. So, yes, sir.
Makes sense. And one thing, another thing that I kind of, we had discussed this off air, that I kind of figured was going to happen. This whole Interscope deal, them kind of being intertwined with Viacom, which pretty much owns so fucking much, it was apparent that it was going to be, it makes sense that it was fucking released, or it was talked about back on the fucking awards show. That's what happened last time, back before Eminem's Monster with Rihanna and that shit came out, which I'm surprised that his album kind of blended into 2 years. Yeah. As far as the attention and the singles go. So it was fucking, it was well crafted. I'm not too sure what it topped that in the fucking charts. I don't think it did that much, but his singles fucking hit. And yeah, man, I haven't been fucking impressed with him. The last album, the only track that stood out to me was fucking the one with K-Dot on it. You know what I'm saying? That's just because Kendrick shit on everything and he fucking made the track his.
And me, I'm actually excited about this album for the simple fact, and I'm an Eminem head. I've been fucking with him from day one.
Oh,
and
no doubt. Eminem, some shady LP. Eminem, I even went back to Infinity.
Let me bring up his discography. Eminem, recently, after his first couple albums or so, once he hit the Eminem show, he is good every other album. And I noticed that, like, his first three, let me bring this up, or his first four, honestly, because Infinite, I thought, was solid. If y'all don't know what that is, hop on the internet. That was his first album. It came out in, like, 96. It was three years before he signed with Dre. And that was a phenomenal album. He only sold, like, 1,000 copies, but it's all over the internet.
That was straight fucking back trunk popping.
That was out his trunk. Shouts out to him. And then you have the Slim Shady LP, which I thought was a classic. You have the Marshall Mathers LP, which I thought was a classic. You have the Eminem show. You have the Eminem show. Classic.
Came out with singles, videos.
Then you have Encore, which was so you have the every other. You have Relapse, which was then you have Recovery, which was I really like Recovery. And then you have
Relapse more.
You like Relapse more than Recovery,
yeah.
Really?
And don't forget, then it's like, I want to say
all the accents on Relapse.
Well, because that's kind of, he was letting his shit out again. To me, that was his closest return to Slim Shady LP.
Yeah.
As far as him kind of being more grown and kind of, it's just one thing that kind of pisses me off is I feel like he has this fucking, because you know Eminem would, you know, if we compare him to the Eminem we fucking met in on 8 Mile, he probably has shit's lines written for days. He probably has mad little pieces of paper, notebook papers, whatever the hell like that. And I feel like he keeps using old ass fucking references. I mean, he's still fucking referencing fucking Bill Clinton fucking scandal shit. Like you're just.
On the Marshall Mathers LP, the Number Rap two. God song, he had the whole boy. What was the
like looking ass boy? Fucking
He did all that, and then he talked about the Fabulous and Ray J shit, and you were like, oh, you could tell he wrote this verse like a long time ago. That's an old song, but real quick about Relapse, like I'm one of those people who Relapse. personally, I thought Relapse was better than the public gave it. I still put it with Encore as one of my least favorite albums of his, but he did have some joints on there that I really fuck with. And personally, Recovery, because I've heard a lot of people didn't like Recovery. I've seen that trend, if you will. But I think with me, the reason why Recovery resonated with me was because it was during that 2010 year was when I came to the conclusion I had a drinking problem. And I was like, yo, I gotta stop this shit. And I stopped drinking around the same time that this CD came out, when him talking about, yo, you know, Relapse, I was on drugs. What was it? Encore, I was on drugs. Relapse, I was flushing them out. It's just like what he was talking about on Recovery, I could relate to, the talk to myself and the all the shit that he was talking about. I felt his demons. I was like, oh shit. So that's why Recovery struck a chord with me. And then Marshall Mathers LP was what I thought it was going to be, horrible, because once again, every other album. So with that being said, I think Shady XV is going to be hot. It's supposed to be a double CD. One CD is the greatest hits of, like, Interscope. And then, no, so one of the CDs is greatest hits. And then one of the CDs will be actual original material. So
he's at that point, I guess. Didn't he release already a fucking greatest hits album? It was after
With like Encore, I think he dropped like a.
It was after Current. It was Current Call. It was Current Call. It was after
Current
Encore.
Call. Yeah.
Like how many fucking? It's so funny because him being a performer, as you will, is like, all right, I see the references. They make sense, but I'm like, all right, you already did Current Call. Fuck, you want Encore after Current? I mean.
And what's interesting to throw my synesthesia out there is, I think the other reason why I'm interested with this album is the title alone strikes a color for me. Just hearing Shady XV, the X is like a pink glass, and then as it goes to the V, it's like a green glass, if you will. So every time I picture Shady XV, I see colors. And so I think that's the other reason why I'm excited, because I'm like, why the fuck is the title giving me colors? I haven't even heard the music yet, so that's why I'm
excited.
It's a
good combination.
Synesthesia, Google it if you guys haven't heard of it, so.
And then we talked about this in a previous episode, so that gives you more reason to backtrack the word catalog. I just hope I can hear some fucking Dre beats. I doubt it. I'm pretty sure it's going to be all him. But even then, though, like, I'm interested to hear some shit, because he hasn't really produced. And on the real, to me, that's some of the illest stuff is when he does that. But I know it's time-consuming and shit. I mean, come on now.
On that note, I wanted to move on to some future technology. I saw this shit on Appy Geek or whatever, some application I got on my phone. It sends me like cool little updates. And click on that link. This is the face tracking projection is the thing you'll see today. Let me know when you get this loaded up, because this shit is wild, yo. You have to see it to believe it and understand it. And so we're going to throw this up on the...
Let me tell you while this shit loads up, and I'm not too sure it's going to have any relevance to it or not, but as far as the facial tracking shit, the first time I actually seen some shit that kind of became a worldwide sort of thing is with Facebook. All of a sudden, you post a picture, someone posts a picture of Facebook, going to recognize right away and tell you, hey, this is the way.
Now,
here's the link to his shit.
This shit is even crazier, because with this shit, this is a 3D projection onto someone's face in real time. So for people who are like, that made absolutely no sense, picture this. Picture CGI. When you watch a movie and you see CGI. Now picture someone being able to, in a sense, green screen your face, but without covering your face, and then adding CGI over your face. This is what the fuck is going on. And it says, we've seen a whole bunch of projection mapping videos, but this demo raises the bar. Training the projection to recognize a model's face and follows her as she moves it. The result is basically real-life CGI, a real-time layer of animated light that's inseparable from the object itself. People say this on the internet a lot, but this is actually the craziest thing I have ever seen. And it shows the GIF of the best part. And if you hit play on this video, I'm going to let this play in the background. It shows Omati, a real-life face tracking and projection mapping. And so it shows this Asian-looking woman with a big face. Shouts out to her. She got a big face.
Shout out to her face, bitch.
Shout out to her. And so they show her, and it's scanning her, has the dots on her face and all that, and then it goes up, it looks like it's just her regular face, and then she looks, but the eyes don't look real, so I'm wondering if this is, I'm thinking this is CGI, because the eyes don't look really weird. Then it goes up again, and the makeup on her face changes, it looks like she legit has makeup on her face, and she's moving, and it's still there. And all that, and so she's blinking and shit, and then all of a sudden these colors kind of come around her face where it looks like a kabuki warrior or some shit. And this is a real life, real time fucking commentary, if you will. And then she puts like, "Are you able to see the video? Is it playing for you?"
It's going hella slow, but I mean, okay. It just looks like. I mean, I kind of, not to say I don't see the fucking big whoop out of it, because I figured that's how they did this shit.
You got to see it playing in real time, because this ain't like a movie. This ain't like them showing something from a movie. This is in real time. This woman has CGI on her face as she's just sitting in this chair. And then they do this whole robot thing, and her face changes to a robot, and you can see like the skeleton. And then, like, I've never seen something like this. This is CGI in real life, not on a movie. Like, now this scares me, because what can we now do with this technology? Eventually, you know, it's going to be portable, where I could be walking down the street with a different face on. Like, in this, I'm like the only person in the world who loved that movie Surrogate by Bruce Willis.
Oh,
like,
yo,
this is some surrogate up. Shit, yo. Oh, my mind is fucking blown.
She still is who she is, though. So I mean, it's like we in a different body in a different room controlling this shit, a la Avatar. I mean.
Oh, no. But this shit scares the fuck out of me. That's all I'm saying.
What scared the fuck out of me is, so we can flip it around, my boy. And I'm a PlayStation fan. I'm too broke right now to have myself a PS4. My boy got the Xbox One, whatever. Anyways, I had to sign in. You got to sign up for the email. You got to do all this fucking shit just so they can track your ass.
Yeah.
And shit, you know. I came over to my boy's house, walking through the door. They're watching Netflix. They got the Kinect thing, which is just that little camera operating system shit. As soon as I walked through the door, "Welcome, Sol Papo." What the fuck? So yeah,
that's hilarious.
Facial recognition, motherfucker.
I'm trying to see, because they got the voice recognition. Let me see if this does this again. I was fucking with this Google voice thing. Let me see if it's still on. Okay, Google.
Okay, Barbie, go to a party.
Oh wait, hold up. Let me see. Crank this volume up. I was fucking with this the other day. Crank that Soulja Boy. Let me run this back, yo.
Okay, so it's in front, so everybody can hear it.
Is this kind of like a Siri thing?
Yeah, something like that. Let me see. Okay.
Okay, Google. What's cracking?
Nothing, Echo.
Kraken, CRACKINS, edition of Fried Oatmeal, now Northeast.
Okay, Google. What's cracking lacking? Oh, come on. Okay, Google. What's crack-a-lacking?
She give me your definitions. Speak English, Google.
She's hating. She's hating it worked last time. What's crack-a-lacking?
You're gonna put me on the spot.
This bitch.
Oh, see?
This just got shy. It gives you the definition of what's crack-a-lacking, and she does the Urban Dictionary. She read it out. I was like, yo, fucking mind blown. Let me try one last time. Okay, Google.
Google, would you like your salad tossed?
Okay, Google.
Well, let me get Siri on this shit. Siri will fucking respond to me right away.
Yo, Siri, this bitch is acting up over here. Where's Siri at? I'm trying to find out what's crack-a-lacking. I need someone to tell me, yo.
I don't know if this she could tell me. What is crack-a-lacking?
See what she okay, says. You don't then.
Oh, that bitch got mad at you too, yo. These hoes is tripping. Yo, what they say? These
Siri, hoes, bitch, you dumb.
I'm just trying to help you.
Sure you are, bitch. Alright. Whatever.
Now, shots out to intelligent women going from the complete contrast of dumb, fake, technological bitches over to real women with opinions. I hopped on YouTube the other day. I like to follow the YouTube and see, you know, when people interact with us. It's always entertaining to see people interact with us. Cause,
and we need more of it, people. Please, if you're listening, quit being scurried.
When you don't interact, it's like we're talking to ourselves.
We kind of are.
But I put a video up back in April, and it was an audio clip from episode 6, Blue Balls and Time Clocks. And in it, we talked about the massive amounts of shootings lately, and I threw out the whole idea of if overpopulation was to blame. I think this is one of the first times I went on my overpopulation rant. And shouts out to, I hope she doesn't mind us giving her Google thing out, but shouts out to Ingrid, I won't say your whole thing, but she chimed in and said the planet will naturally depopulate itself. Trust me on this. Once the population in the world reaches its peak sustainability, people are going to either are going to die due to either number one, not enough food and various resources, which leads to number two, malnutrition and disease. Then something big will happen, because with that many people on the planet getting sick and being squeezed together, breathing in close proximity, bam, some mutated virus bacteria that is 100 times more deadly than the Black Plague spreads, and more than 3/4 of the world's population is wiped out. But, of course, to prevent that from happening, population control will undoubtedly be of serious consideration in the future. It will have to be. Either we control what we do on this planet, or nature will control us. No joke. But think about this. There is no way to employ that many people to feed their families without our limited resources combined with increased technology. How many jobs can ultimately exist in the world? With that many people, demand will go way up, a supply cannot sustain. So what happens? Prices on everything will skyrocket past the moon. The rich will be the only ones who can afford the essentials. Just a loaf of bread will cost something like $20 or more. Yes, it can happen. With serious overpopulation issues, you better believe it. There are not enough jobs out there already. They're taking her jobs. And she says, no pun intended, though, and I just said, honestly, couldn't agree more. Like, how do you combat that? Like, you had some real good points, and all those are plausible, because all those have happened in one way or another in history, so touche.
Ain't no punchline to that.
You won many internets on that one, so shout out to you.
Many coins go to you.
And speaking of the shit going on in the world, I saw this video. Shouts out to I once again call myself a free thinker, and my definition of free thinking is that I don't just watch Fox News, I don't just watch CNN, I don't just watch MSNBC, I'm not just a Democrat, I'm not just this or that. I freely draw opinion from everything. It goes back to my favorite quote of Neil deGrasse Tyson. When someone asked him if he was atheist or agnostic, he said, please don't label me, because once you label me, you've already made up your mind what you think I believe in. And right. That's why I call myself a free thinker, because you'll never know what direction I go with certain things. But I fucks with all-time conspiracies on YouTube, and they put together this guide to ISIS. It's a 2-minute video real quick, and they just have music in the background, so I just want to read what's on the screen. And if this, have you heard of ISIS?
Yeah, man, that shit's going on in the Middle East right now, bro.
Oh, no.
Actually, I was just going to fucking say, one of the biggest things that I know, I mean, not only are we kind of throwing more, U.S. kind of throwing more airstrikes right now into the northern Iraqi towns, fucking Australia put their dick in the pie too, man, and they're actually giving weapons to Iraq to fight against. So it's kind of like... But yeah, I'm sorry, go with the story, go with the story.
No, yeah, you're good. This, I have been hearing... ISIS and about, you know, chopping off heads and all that.
Oh yeah, but they finally killed an American.
So I didn't know how big of a deal they were until I watched this video, and I'm gonna read it, and if any of this is incorrect, people, you know, hit us up, Facebook, email, whatever, let us know that we're incorrect. But just going off of what's on this YouTube video, this is scary. And now let me go ahead and hit play. Let me play this in the background. It says, in 2013, two offshoots of Al-Qaeda in Iraq merged. Now, let me drop this pop-up. To form the Islamic State of Iraq and Al-Sham. A.K.A. ISIS. Like the dramatic effect, the timing, the pacing. This here is a guide to ISIS, and the sources are The Guardian, The Telegraph, a whole bunch of other places. But Al-Qaeda's leadership soon denounced ISIS. And it goes on to say now that ISIS is one of the many extreme Islamic rebel groups, .. who have been fighting across Syria and Iraq, .. Then now it has up to 10,000 militants. That's a lot of people, y'all. And it says that the Syrian uprising, which began in 2011, gave ISIS the perfect training ground in safe haven, .. from which to plan its assault on Iraq. Now, in summer 2014, ISIS surprisingly captured 3 Iraq cities and has since seized a third of Iraq and Syria. That's a lot of land, y'all.
Yeah.
And lastly, it says ISIS conquests have earned its $2 billion in funds, not 2 million, 2 billion, making it the richest terror group in the world. Now, ISIS has murdered or displaced about 200,000 people. And lastly, what does this say? They're showing a picture of Obama. Can we get to... I think that's it. So, anyway, that's what's going on in the world. And this has me absolutely terrified because I'm going to just throw out a whole bunch of words and tell me if these words mean anything to you and if they all seem to go together. You have terrorist group ISIS. You have the whole thing with ISIS and the Egyptians and the Eye of Horus, and you have all that good stuff. You have World War III. You have Hitler and how he rose with all these weapons and how he was an unstoppable force. You have the Antichrist, and if I'm not mistaken, in the New Testament, the Antichrist, when they come, they're supposed to be rehashing a name of a former leader, if you will, and ISIS used to rule the world, and some may even argue ISIS still rules the world. Google that if you guys don't know what I'm talking about. And I ask you, what the fuck is going on, yo? Is, do we need to go blow up that part of the world? Because this is kind of scary, yo.
Yes. with that be going, honestly, I can short go on answer, fucking terrible yes. fucking rant. Shorthand, yeah, man. I mean, how, and this is kind of where it comes down to, I mean, it being not necessarily genocide, but I mean, you gotta take everything out. Leave no stragglers, leave no sign of life, because it's just gonna form and it's gonna continue. And honestly, I think they're gonna have the enthusiasts all over, man. Like I kind of how I mentioned before about that chick from the UK who is the less education, who is now, you know what I'm saying, trying to be the first, she wants to kill the first Westerner, you know what I'm saying, in Syria. She's on this fucking plot. Like, motherfuckers are motivated nowadays, you know what I'm saying, to go out there and do it, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you gotta stop it.
The thing that's always interesting to me, and that's why I always play devil's advocate in these situations, is especially with her, Khadiji Dare, the thing that, like, we in America and in our media, we portray these people as the devil, if you will. These are horrible, horrible people. Now, you have someone like the dedication from the last episode. What makes her join that group and think that what they're doing is correct? Some people will say, oh, they've been brainwashed. I don't like going with the brainwash. I like to treat them as a human who's sane and think, what do you know that I don't know that made you turn to that side? That's what I always wonder. And it was the same thing with Hitler that I say all the time. I'm fascinated with Hitler because what exactly made you get that powerful? Like, I knew he was a eloquent speaker, and that's the reason why he got the people behind him. But then he got all these military people, and he was like on the verge of taking over the world, Genghis Khan style with motherfucking tanks. And I'm like, yo, I need to know the other side of the story, because there's like four sides to every story. There's so many layers, and I'm interested with shit like that. So I don't know what the fuck is going on, but I think that this is something that we really need to deal with. And I'm normally, I won't say anti-war, but I'm normally one of those people who every time we go out to war, it's like, oh damn, America, we're about to blow some more shit up. I approve this message. Blow them motherfuckers up. We need to kill them before they kill us. That's all I'm saying.
You know, and it just comes down, I mean, as far as anything, anytime you kind of have a spiritual awakening, it's being troubled in something, having your eyes opened, and kind of running with it. I mean, that's why
Church
I mean, faith and love is blind.
Church of Aquarius. I'm saying, man, we got something. This is a perfect time. Yeah, people are waking up. It's time to start this new religion. I'm just saying, yo.
I'm saying when was the two or more come together, you know what I'm saying, shit gets strong.
Yes, sir. So, speaking of when more than two people come together, we got to do our update on Ferguson. And the Ferguson spin this week that I want to bring up is shouts out to John Stewart, yo. John Stewart came back from vacation, and he hopped right into a full-on battle, if you will, with Fox News. And on last Tuesday's night, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, he kind of called out the anchors, the Fox News anchors, how they struggle to understand why America has to talk about race at blah, 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 in the wake of Brown shooting. And did you see this video?
No, actually, I didn't. But, I mean, Jon Stewart's one of my favorite comedy commentators who I think does news and comedy the fucking best, and it goes way underrated. I'm not too sure if they won any Emmys this time, but him and Colbert, I honestly think I like Colbert more, because maybe because he's a Christian, he's a Catholic school teacher on Sundays, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah, they go hard. Yeah, and he totally, kind of like how I kind of like want to portray, because I don't think as I'm retarded and crazy on the show as I am in real life. I would hope not. But yeah, it's all just, it's all satire, yeah.
So, yeah. And it's a 10-minute video. It's up on the IBHM podcast page. If you go to the ADHD section, it's the John Stewart or the Race Off featuring John Stewart. It's, oh, genius. 10 minutes. It's fabulous. But just to kind of paraphrase and bring up a couple of the points that he brought up, he says, this isn't all about just one man killed in one town. It is about how people of color, no matter their socioeconomic standing, face obstacles in this country with surprising grace. Stewart says, after taking the ice bucket and challenge, or inspired Ferguson challenge, which means just getting maced in the face. But he says, I guarantee you that every person of color in this country has faced the indignity, from the ridiculous to the grotesque to the sometimes fatal, at some point in there. And then he pauses to say, I'm going to say last couple of hours, because of their skin color. He says, race is there and it is a constant. You're tired of hearing about it. Imagine how fucking exhausting it is living it. And I gave him shots out, of course, me being an African American. This resonated with me, and shouts out to, because you know I bring up the Jews and so on and so forth, and you know, maybe I need to start keeping some of my opinions to myself about Israel. Yeah. And, you know, just
respecting
kind of,
the aliens.
Yeah, you know, want to get deemed away. But this man makes $30 million a year. He's a Jewish man that, of course, not suffers, but is a. He receives the benefits of white privilege, if you will. And white privilege is one of those things that a lot of people get offended by, because people get mad, like, oh, you're telling me I'm cheating the system. Not saying that you're cheating the system. It's just things are inherently different for people in this world, dependent on what your race is, what your economic standing is, what your sexuality is, what your sexual preference is. Like, the world is inherently different from everyone. Me being an African American who grew up on welfare in South Phoenix and is 30 years old now, my life is completely different than a Bill O'Reilly or Adam Carolla or any of these other motherfuckers out there. Like, we live two completely different lives, so neither one of us can say what the other one could accomplish or couldn't accomplish, because we live completely different worlds. So shout out to John Stewart for this lovely 10-minute rant that he went on, just dropping some knowledge. Because if that was a black man saying that, it's like, oh yeah, you Africans always keep bringing this shit back to race. And thank you, Jewish man, for dropping some science on some people. So
praise to the people of Abraham.
So, yes, sir, on that note, I think it's about that time.
Oh,
it's, I think it's about that time.
I think it is, too.
Not the time to do the shmoney dance. That's later. It's time for
dedication.
And, yes, sir. I have two dedications this week, and I'm not sure how many Popo has, so I'm going to have to pass it over to him to see how many he has.
I mean, I guess I could fetch for two. No one has titillated me by any fucking means, but I mean, there's always a bonita to praise, always. And I guess I'll
go ahead.
If anything, this is kind of why I was almost hoping that we would end on the music thing. And I guess one of them I'll throw it out there, only because I hate her. I want to hate fuck her. I am jealous for the little midget motherfucker who is now dicking her. Oh. Part of it kind of goes to Ariana Grande, just because she is that petals dream, and her album is going knock, and I think it's complete shit. It's going to brainwash America and all the little girls that follow under her. So yeah, as far as just, you know what I'm saying, my dedication to someone who's just ruining the youth, shouts out to fucking Miss Ariana Grande. I mean,
yes, sir.
ain't nothing else to say about that. You go to the next one, and I'll pick this dude. Unless you're trying to just dump him out.
No, because actually this is perfect for mine, too, because mine is also a hate fuck, if you will, and plays perfectly off of the Ferguson shit that's going on. My first dedication goes to Megyn Kelly from motherfucking Fox News.
Bad though.
Who got into it. She's also the cover girl of episode 10. Jesus is white. What was it? Jesus is white and Fox is real news. Or Jesus is white, Santa is real, and Fox is real news. Shouts out to her. She recently got into it with Bill O'Reilly, and they face off over the issue of white privilege, who Bill O'Reilly gets so offended anytime white privilege comes up. And for those who don't know what white privilege is, the actual definition is the idea that white Americans enjoy special societal benefits. And they got into it, and she dropped some knowledge. She said that... I'm trying to find where it is at, because she started dropping, because she was like, I did some research before coming on the show, basically talking about, instead of Bill O'Reilly talking out his ass, as he's known to do a lot of times, she read some reports on the news. But she says, among the facts Kelly shared is that black unemployment in Ferguson is 3 times what it is for whites, and that a black child in the U.S. is 4 times more likely to be living in a poorer neighborhood than a white child. O'Reilly dismissed these figures and said that families, culture, and personal responsibility. So if you're in a bad situation, it's your fault. Fuck you. You're stupid ass.
Pretty much.
Because I'm smart and you're stupid. Fuck you. And she says that the Asian American community is not a troubled situation, as everybody knows. They're academic. Limits are better than whites. They have language to overcome, while black Americans don't. It all comes down to families, culture, personal responsibilities. That's what he said. But then Kelly, where's it at, didn't agree, and she said it's not just families or culture. Look at the stat about the black children 4 times as likely to live in poor neighborhoods as white children. And in the St. Louis area, there is documented white flight. The whites take off. These become black neighborhoods. These schools, they get forgotten. The black population feels forgotten. So she was basically talking about how you have a lot of these situations. That has been a course over history where you have white people in a neighborhood, they give up that neighborhood, then they move welfare black people in there, and then the standing of it falls apart because all the white people and all the white good teachers left, so then you have this bad community, and then you have these minorities to start making bad decisions. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And it's like, well, they're in a bad situation. Like, I hate how people don't take reality into the matter of different things, and this isn't a black or white thing, this is a rich versus poor thing. There's poor white people who make bad decisions. There's poor Mexicans who make bad decisions. Haven't seen too many poor Asians make bad decisions. So shouts out to y'all. Y'all have figured it out. I need to go to UCLA. But
fucking need to join the Yakuza or something.
Yes, sir. So shouts out to Megyn Kelly, because I think that by her saying this, she showed me that she had more sense than I thought she did. And I think she's one real good black cock away for joining, joining this side.
Yeah, well, she had to go back.
She is my dedication.
She's going to be disowned, and there ain't going to be nothing, nowhere else for her to go.
I just have a feeling if I were to put that thing on her, she would start a real news station on BET. This might be the start of something. I'm just saying. We might be able to save the world. So shouts out to Megyn Kelly, who was the first official newscaster of my all-black or my all-minority station that we'll be putting out soon along with the Church of Aquarius. And Megyn Kelly, I'm looking for you to come join this. And, yeah. I'm trying to do this.
I take this dick, please.
This black dick, yo. Because I think that's all you're missing in your life to get your shit together. So, shouts out to you.
She might even find God.
Yes, sir. Somebody else who needs some black dick, but fuck her. I can't make her a dedication. Is Ann Coulter. She's also somebody who missing some black dick in her life.
And she off the band. But, yes,
so, I'll pass it back to you, Popo. Dedication.
Okay.
I did it. Alright, dedication number two, and honestly, this is kind of one of those, you know, this is the equivalent of what I'm assuming happened to Bill Clinton, you know what I'm saying? He has a hard-on, he's chilling in the Oval Office, he needs to get his thing sucked, peeks out the fucking door, first thing he sees, Monica Lewinsky, you bitch, get over here, come on, shh, keep it secret, get over here.
I gotta put it somewhere.
And just one of my, I was just going through fucking Tumblr not too long ago, and I never watched this show just because I could tell it's fucking retarded, and it's MTV produced. They did a Teen Wolf series, starting back in 2011. Anyways, this is a girl, her name's Holland Roden, H-O-L-L-A-N-D, last name R-O-D-E-N, and she's just, would eat that perfection, kinda, not really, not perfection, she got hit with the ugly stick when she put the right amount of makeup on. She did shit like Bring It On, fucking some straight to DVD movie, and she did the thing in Grey's Anatomy. I don't know too much about the bitch, but she's pale, red hair, red lips, my baby, hashtag Wadita.
She has a wide jaw. She could fit a lot of cocks in her mouth.
Probably simultaneously. And she ain't ambidextrous. You know what I'm saying? She does it all.
Yes.
Yeah, I ain't got too much to say. I wish I wish there was more terrorist women that I could fucking support and put you on the fucking pussy pedestal, but there isn't, because y'all bitches lazy, y'all looking at makeup tutorial videos.
And with all the names and the keywords that we've dropped on this episode, once again, I know we're on some list. It's all fun and games, people. Don't take it serious. Mm. Or maybe. Depends. my second dedication, I gotta switch it up. I gotta hop over to music and I gotta show somebody some love who I haven't showed love to. And, I'm gonna change the game, yo. My dedication goes to Brittany Howard. And for those who don't know who Brittany Howard is, she is the lead singer of the popular rock group Alabama Shakes. Yo.
Oh, how the hell do you know about the Alabama Shakes, son?
Alabama Shakes is my new shit, yo.
That's a sister, ain't it? That's a husky sister, ain't it?
Yeah, she's husky, and I think she's mixed.
She kind of has like a Macy Gray shit going on.
Yeah, but she definitely got some soul in her, and like she every time she's singing, it's taking me to church. I'm like, yo, so Brittany Howard, yo, shouts out to you. You're incredible.
How'd you hear about her? Did Trav put you on her?
Yo, you know what's funny? Like, Trav did bring her up, but what put me up on her was actually Saturday Night Live. They were on Saturday Night Live this was a while ago. This might have been.
So they have an album. They have a recent album then? Because on the road, I haven't heard
of her. It might have been like a year ago,
like 07.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. So this has been within the last, 12 months. They released something. And I saw her, and it's fucked up because Trav didn't think it was too funny when I had initially posted, because he had said something about them doing their thing on Saturday Night Live, and I felt bad because I had never heard of the group. And so the first time I saw
totally
them, I heard the name of the group, Alabama Shakes, and they showed the picture, and she's a husky chick. She's bigger than anybody else in the group, and it was a horrible picture that they used of her, and I thought it was a guy who was dressed up in a dress. And so I thought it was some type of joke or parody or something. I was like, okay, this is silly. Then they came back from break, and she sung, and I was like, yo, she's fucking amazing. And so Trav had posted something like the next day talking about how good of a job she did, and I had said how I felt bad because I thought it was a dude at first when I saw it. And but no, yeah, she's a chick. She's just a hefty chick. But ain't nothing wrong with the big girls. You know,
I don't know, man.
Had a few in my life. Ain't nothing wrong with them. So,
shout out to her. Yeah, they just get real lazy. Is all makes me get my endurance on. That's it. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I need to work out. Not really. I guess I do.
Yes, sir. And on that note, Popo is getting his workout on, doing his laundry thing, and. I gotta go grocery shopping. I gotta do some shit too. And so I think on that note, it's
gonna watch some crusty drops, son.
It's about around then where I would like to say once again, our email, ladies and gentlemen, is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. Questions, comments, concerns, hit us up over there. You can find us on the web at the following sites: Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, Podomatic. Just add IBHM Podcast in an appropriate spot. You can subscribe to our show on Stitcher, iTunes, and Podomatic. Also on YouTube, you can subscribe to us. Just search "I'm Black, He's Mexican." And if you're too lazy to do any of that, just head to the website ibhmpodcast.com, where you can find all of our links there. Now, once again, I'm Black. He's Mexican.
They say.
And if you didn't like this podcast, tell them what they probably are, Pablo.
They a motherfucking cocksucking, cupcake licking, fucking put the finger in the batter mix yeast infection shit. Racist.
Yes, sir. So, on that note, suck me off tenderly. Good luck.
Bye. Okay. You leaving right now? Button House? I'm sorry, yo, we gotta say bye.
I'm just gonna let it go. I'm letting it go, yo. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, one.
And
you were never ready for the flow.
When the rain don't fall so hard no more, and the bank won't take my car no more, But they ain't gonna pull my car neither. And they ain't gonna pull my squads either. Niggas spit shit, I hawk ether. Steve a hawk and no need for talking. Got a hawk's eye, but I can hardly see ya. Talks fly, pray you not Aaliyah. I ain't tryna rock the boat, but the flow crazy. I paint pictures, but they not Baroque. More Scorsese. Niggas made scores out of instrumentals. Make a type of script with a pen and pencil. Use words with scripts, natural spell it. Be fuckers, you telling me that it sound better spitting it simple. Fuck with me, femo. Ginger ale for your hoes. Not shit else, not even my dick. Man, I got way too much on my mind. Got a little light, about as bright as my big. Man, y'all got way too much on the shine. Y'all niggas don't tell enough for the truth in the booth, and it's proof you ain't fucking with mine. Sip. Water more important than gold. People fuck the gold. Everybody do it for the gold. People say, oh, so. Water more important than gold. People fuck the gold. Everybody do it for the gold. People say, oh, so. Thank God for the waters, waters. Thank God for the waters, waters. Thank God. Thank God for the waters, waters. Thank God for the waters, waters. Thank God.
Started from the bottom of the map. Roll tide at the end of the wave. In this bitch ballpoint strap, get back. This nigga got a pen to the page. Permanent marks on my marks, man, I never miss. Talk shit, that's a hint at your age. Big chain, that's a hint at the cage. They saying you sane, but I'm gone in 60 seconds on the verse. That's Nicolas Cage. But with a black young man. I'm everything that it denotes. Shit comes straight from the heart, not a record exec in the back with a remote. Niggas gon' play their parts, say face on the face on the back of a C note. Everybody wanna be the back of a D Rose, but I can't go. Van Gogh, how I handle the paintbrush when I paint flows. Niggas in the club throwing pesos. Niggas on the block throwing pitch once they not from Barbados. I don't give a fuck how you rep your flag. Catch him in the cup when he wrote his truth. And I don't give a fuck how you stuff your bags. Touch the sky, it's much more than trees. What can you tell me about your roof? Spitting that truth like a cold white rapper. Niggas gon' always need some proof. Niggas gon' always need some water. Niggas gon' always speak the truth. Niggas gon' always want the messenger dead, and they always need the proof, my nigga. Thank God for the waters, waters. Thank God. Thank God for the waters, waters. Thank God. Niggas gon' always need some water. Niggas gon' always speak the truth. Niggas gon' always want the messenger dead, and they always want the proof. Niggas gon' always need the proof. Niggas gon' always need the proof. Water more important than gold. People fuck the gold. Everybody do it for the gold. People say, oh, so. Water more important than gold. People fuck the gold. Everybody do it for the gold. People say, oh, so. Thank God for the waters, waters. Thank God for the waters, waters. Thank God. Thank God for the waters, waters. Thank God for the waters, waters. Thank God. Water more important than gold. People fuck the gold. Everybody do it for the gold. People say, oh, so. Water more important than gold. People fuck the gold. Everybody do it for the gold. People say, oh, so. Thank God for the waters, waters. Thank God for the waters, waters. Thank God. Thank God for the waters, waters. Thank God for the waters, waters. Thank God.